Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this Tuesday's episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd Stiles, one of the pastors here at First Family Church. Today is Tuesday, May 13th. Really glad you're listening, and I'm excited for a number of questions that we're going to answer today and discuss here on the Extra Point Podcast. As you know, it's designed to give further insight, deeper observation, additional application. And often that means simply answering questions that our congregation asked in relation to last week's text. Sometimes they're emailed or texted in. Sometimes they're from folks who are watching from other states or even other regions of the world. And so today we have a number of questions leaning all in the same one or two directions. And they do concern the subject of what happens to believers after they humanly die. As you know, that was the question that we answered from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. I believe that is the question perhaps that Timothy brought back from Thessalonica. One of many, of course, you could even say concerns. And so Paul addressed various things in his letter to that church. And one of them, I think, was what happens to Christians after they humanly die. So we taught on that. I'd invite you to go hear the message on our podcast feed of sermons or even on our website. It's firstfamily.church. Let me take some questions that have come in as a result of that message and our understanding of the text and see if we can talk a little further about this and bring some additional insight. Question number one, can you address babies / young children who do not understand the gospel yet being in heaven? And so the question isn't, do I think they're in heaven, though that may be what this person's asking. This person simply says, can you address babies, young children who don't understand the gospel yet being in heaven? Here's where I land as a pastor, and I want to admit and say to you that there is a variety of perspectives on this. Some have even divided the perspectives along the lines of a pastoral approach, and then some would say maybe a more theological approach. I'm not real comfortable with that divide. I hope pastors are theological, and I hope theologians are pastoral. I don't think we have to split that in such a divisive way, but I think the heart of that perspective or heart of that stance is admitting that in moments of grief, a family has lost a baby, a miscarriage or a young stillborn, or in these early months and, you know, days, a child passes. Like, these are very difficult days. And so is there a pastoral response and is there a theological response? I get that dichotomy, so to speak, but my aim is to say that how we word our theology matters in those moments. I don't think we have to change it. I don't think we want to lessen or adjust what we believe. But let's be honest, how you word these things in those moments is different than perhaps how you may word it in a debate with people who aren't in the middle of that kind of trial. So to the question, can you address babies and young children who do not understand the gospel yet being in heaven? I personally do believe that infants, those who die in infancy, are covered by the blood of Jesus. I believe they are in heaven. You can use the word saved. I prefer to use the word safe. Admittedly, those are some words that I choose because it draws a little bit of a distinction in this category, but here's why I make it. First of all, I like David's statement in the Old Testament after the death of his child, in which he said, he cannot come to us, but we will go to him. And so either David made that statement because of his belief in the covenant aspect of what he was living in and under in relation to God, or he made that statement in relation to a covering he knew existed by God for infants. You know, perspectives or opinions abound on why David could be so definitive about that. But the statement is clear that David fully expected to see his child again in God's presence. And so why could David say that so definitively? We can argue about that, but I think it would stand to reason that infants then are in heaven. My reasoning comes from Romans chapter 1. Some refer to this as the age of accountability. Some would say it's the moment of moral responsibility. I don't have a preference on how you word this. I just believe that Romans 1 teaches that all are without excuse once they realize there is a God. And in the text of that chapter, it's understanding by nature God's attributes and seeing that there is a creator. At some point, at that moment, when that knowledge is gained, when that moment occurs that there is a God, I believe at that point we are without excuse. Prior to that, I personally believe there is some type of covering. I would use the word safety, maybe not technically a saved situation, but still the blood of Christ covers. And I think this is what applies to infants, those who do not have the capacity to have any sense of knowledge about God yet. This is not saying the lost person, the native, the person in the middle of the city in some pagan area that's never heard of God, that they're innocent. We're not saying that. They do have capacity. They have reasoning ability to look around them in nature and deduce God's attributes. We're saying that this is about the person who does not even have the capacity to do that. So those with severe mental disabilities, infants, and again, I don't know at what point that capacity hits someone or is awakened in some and comes to life in someone. I don't know. But I tend to think that's one of the reasons I'm comfortable pastorally and theologically saying I believe babies, or as this person asked, infants, they are in heaven. And so when the Lord comes, their body will be raised and their spirit, soul, it will be reunited with their body and they will have a glorified body as well. And those parents will be reunited with their infant, their baby. That begs this question, what does that baby or even miscarried person, boy or girl, like what do they look like in eternity in God's kingdom, in the new heavens and new earth? I don't know. Often that's been asked before about all of us, like the 98-year-old person with dementia, what will they be like and look like in heaven? Or the 3-year-old who passes, the 8-year-old, you could just pick your age. I don't know what age we are in heaven. Some say you're the age that you die, but in a glorified, perfected fashion. Others say, I've even heard this view, that you're the age of Christ when he died. I don't know, okay? The Bible doesn't tell us. But I can tell you what the Bible says, that when Christ comes, all who are God's, their spirit, soul and spirit, it will be reunited with their body. And they will live forever in God's presence with all other believers. This is what the Bible teaches. So, because I do believe there is scriptural backing in both Old and New Testaments to say that infants who die in this infant stage, that they do go to heaven, I'll say this, they'll be there as well. And when Christ returns, they will receive a glorified body. Question number 2, this listener ask, what happens to the soul after the body dies and while the resurrection of the dead is awaited? Now, I had several questions come in that leaned in this direction. I think the sermon, the message, the text leaned in heavily upon what happens when Christ comes. And so they're now wondering, well, what about before he comes and they've died? We know that they'll be raised, but what's happening while we wait for that coming, while we wait for that resurrection? And I want to answer this question quite technically. This person asks, what happens to the soul? So let me just say, my opinion is, my belief is, and the Bible does speak to this, is that To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So your soul is present with the Lord. That means your soul is not sleeping. Now, I mention that because there is a view that says the soul sleeps with the body in the grave and your spirit is in heaven. I don't hold to that, nor do I believe that. I believe only your body is in the grave, back to the dust, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. And whether you believe it's your soul and spirit, or whether you believe it's just your spirit, or whether you believe it's just your soul, that real you, that fully conscious, alive you, is in God's presence, but you're in God's presence in a disembodied fashion. And so you're fully alive, you're aware, you're conscious, you're worshiping, but you are without a body. So some would say that's your soul, some would say that's your spirit. I'm not going to argue that point, because it does kind of depend on if you are a trichotomist, which would mean, are you one who believes that you are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit? Or are you a dichotomist? Would you believe that you are a two-part being, just body and soul? And that, or maybe I should say body and spirit, and that the word soul is simply a word for both of those combined. So you could do some research on this. Maybe I'll do another podcast on trichotomist and dichotomist. Just know this, that really isn't the point of this question. I'm going to assume the questioner is asking what happens to the soul. And I want to say it does not sleep in the grave. I want to make sure we refute that false understanding, that false teaching. Nowhere does the Bible even refer to that. Instead, the Bible clearly says that when the body quits working and is in the ground, what we know as our tent, our covering, then what's housed within that body, whether you call it your soul, your spirit, or both, it is in the presence of God, yet in a disembodied fashion. I can't explain kind of what that's like. I've not been there. I don't know exactly how to even describe it, but just know this, you don't have a body, but you are fully alive and conscious, and you're present with the Lord and worshiping and enjoying Him. And you're waiting for the return of Christ, at which point you'll then receive your glorified body when you return with Him and your body is raised from the dead. That occurs, then those who are alive on the earth, they're caught up as well. Christ comes, He consummates His kingdom, and we dwell with Him forever in the new heavens and new earth. So I hope that answers the question. Several were asked about that, what happens to the soul after death and yet before Christ's coming or the resurrection. And the answer again, plainly and clearly, it is in God's presence. You are in God's presence in a disembodied way, yet fully alive and fully conscious and enjoying the presence of the Lord. And lastly, question number three, I want to actually take it from the question the Thessalonians must have asked Paul, which is, what happens to Christians after they humanly die? And I want to give you the answer from a negative point of view. I want to tell you what doesn't happen, okay? I promised you this in the message. The message itself answered what happens. I want to simply take a moment and make sure you understand what doesn't happen. And here's why. I am amazed at the amount of people who continue to believe false things about what happens to believers after they die. So let me clearly, blatantly, very plainly, what I said 1 week, let me just use a lot of back porch honesty to clarify what I believe the Bible teaches about what doesn't happen to believers when they humanly die. First of all, they aren't separated from God. They don't go to hell. Not at all. In fact, we go to God's presence because we have trusted Christ, we've received Him, we have taken our stand on Christ alone as the only way to be forgiven of our sins and to be reconciled to God, then we will not pay the penalty for our sin at death. We'll receive eternal life. Those who don't believe, what they actually receive is eternal death. And so they die over and over and over in hell. That's separation from God. But for those who believe, we will not experience any kind of separation from God. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediate place where someone's prayers could get you out. All of that is a separation from God that the Bible does not know anything about. Instead, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, I believe it is. And so we just hold to that. And I want to say to you, if you are a believer and you die, what will not happen to you is separation from God or hell. Christ has paid the penalty of your sin. You will not have to pay it. You will see God and you'll be in his presence. Another thing that doesn't happen to you is you do not cease to exist. I don't know of too many Christians who believe this, but sometimes in our language, at different times, you get the impression that we think things are over, that there's like this, you know, other world that we don't know what's out there, and maybe we'll not be part of it. Maybe we will, almost like some kind of alien situation. It's you know, very ambiguous and vague. You get the sense that sometimes they think we just kind of cease to exist. That will not happen. You will be more alive than ever if you are a believer. You'll receive a kind of life once you die humanly that you do not have prior to human death. You'll receive eternal life when you will live in God's presence forever, dwelling with him. And when Jesus comes back with all of your brothers and sisters in God's family with a glorified body in the new heavens and new earth. What a beautiful, wonderful picture of a true and ultimate existence. So you will not go to hell or be separated from God. You will not cease to exist. And lastly, you will not become an angel. This is perhaps one of the more predominant thoughts among Christians. In fact, just recently, I was running across some feeds on different social media channels, and someone that I know in another state was in grief over a loved one who had passed, and their comment simply was, they're finally an angel. No, the believers who die don't become angels, all right? The Bible never speaks of this. In fact, it does two things in the opposite direction. First of all, we know that angels are created beings different than humans. Humans are different than angels. They're two different created beings. One's in the image of God. The Bible never says angels were created in the image of God. So they're different beings. We don't become an angel. That's not what happens. We don't get our wings, all right? The second blatant biblical proof is when the Bible talks about humans and angels in the same paragraph, it is about what things are like in heaven in regards to marriage. And there, Jesus actually says, we'll be like the angels. We are, will not be marrying or given in marriage. He doesn't say we'll be angels. He actually says the opposite. He says, you will be like the angel. So there is a similarity in our experience in heaven. And that's this. You won't be getting married or giving away someone to be married. So the angels aren't getting married and they're not giving away someone to be married. But the text never says that we are angels. It just says that in this realm, this idea of marriage, we are like the angels. So he draws a clear distinction between believers who are in heaven, and then angels. So let's just set the record again. Believers who die do not become angels. We stay the person you are. Again, if you die before the Lord's coming, then you stay the person you are in spirit and soul in God's presence. And then when Jesus returns, your spirit and soul are joined to your body that's in the ground, and you receive a glorified body, and then you exist in a very purposeful, ultimate, beautiful way for eternity, serving the Lord and worshiping him. You're not an angel. You don't become an angel. You don't cease to exist, and you, praise the Lord, don't go to hell. So just want to make sure we clarify again what doesn't happen when believers humanly die. And what we do know is true is that we are raised and reunited with Christ and with each other in God's family. What a beautiful picture of what's ahead for all those who have passed away or fallen asleep or died in Christ. Well, thanks for listening today. Really glad you tuned in. I hope that brings some additional clarity to even some further questions that came in since our teaching time last Sunday. Glad you're listening. And Lord willing, I will speak to you again next Tuesday on the Extra Point Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.